Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
It is a Friday, my dude. We're rapidly running out of runway leading up to the release of the podcast.
Pull up, goddammit.
And then they just, like, the tail scrapes on the edge of the cliff, and then they just manage to take off.
Yeah, they do. Who?
That's a non-specific. It's just the scene.
Oh, that was just a scene that was
played. Just from a generic action movie.
You know, as soon as you did it, I thought, this is a Star Wars.
This is something that I want to.
This is a Star Wars, isn't it? I'm going to crash. That's a line from Star Wars as well.
I'm going to crash.
And then they made six action figures of Going to Crash Man.
Yeah.
And then he had this whole backstory, a series of comics and seven novels. And then Disney wiped it all away.
And it turns out he survived the crash.
Hashtag justice for Crash Man.
It was in space.
Yes.
He somehow lived.
And he landed in the giant space worm pit.
The vicious suck pit.
With Boba Fett.
Yeah.
With Robert Fett.
With Robert Fett.
Robert Fettuccini.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a video game podcast where we talk about video game things. Peter, we're on the road to E3.
Yeah, we are.
We're so close. We've got some plans for E3 going to be expanding upon in the next couple of weeks or so. So keep an eye on the channel for that.
Yep.
It involves predictions and a punishment.
Oh.
So that should be fun.
Let's
kick things off, Peter, with a question. All these questions come from our kind and generous patrons over at patreon.com/...
Idiots. No. I did a stream the other day, and I'm now really confused about who I work for.
Okay,
let's hope Adam doesn't listen to this podcast.
I'm sure it'll be fine. He's gonna put a bullet in your head.
Team Triple Jump.
Team Triple Jump is the Patreon. We haven't had another Patreon for at least nearly 6 months now.
Yeah,
it's been a while. Anyway, first question, Peter. Redeem yourself. Who's it from?
It's from Jack Jenkins, who sort of has two first names, but there aren't many people called Jenkins in the world.
No, I think people are referred to as Jenkins if it's their last name.
I think it can be a first name.
Somebody calling you Austin. Really? I've never met a Jenkins.
No, me neither. But as a big old Xbox boy who is considering going over to PlayStation next gen rather than stay on this Sea of Thieves laden island, what would it take to make either of you PlayStation boys considering switching over to Xbox?
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Have you been a bit thrown by...
Well, it's just as a big old Xbox boy, he's talking about himself. And he's saying, what would it take to make you switch over to PlayStation?
No, it's either of you sentence, PlayStation boys switch over to Xbox.
Sentence construction. To Xbox.
It's okay, he's all right. He's just adjusting his papers now.
It's about subject and object of sentences is all I'm... That's all I'm...
No, it's fine. Yeah. Professor Austin in the house. Yeah. Get out. Make way. Make way for Noddy.
Sorry, Jack. Thanks for the question.
Jenkins. Thank you, Jenkins. Jennifer Kins. Yeah. Thank you very much. I have never, apart from a very brief period where I think my PS3 was broken, I've never had an Xbox. I've, played on plenty of Xboxes over the years. But I've never had one.
You briefly had an Xbox?
Yes, my cousin's old Xbox 360.
Okay.
My PS3 was broken for a while, and he gave that to me.
Nice.
I used it for like a month, and I bought a Canadian version of the Game of the Year edition of The Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion.
Would it play?
Yeah, it would. Oh. Will it blend? Yeah, it did. I think it was sort of same region or something. But anyway, it had French on the back and the cover, and I was really concerned. I was like, is this going to be... in French, because eBay didn't tell me that when I bought it, and then it played fine. So that was just my coping mechanism for having no console.
So that's what it would take for you to switch to the Xbox 720, is if Oblivion came out.
Oblivion 5, yeah. The Elder Scrolls 6, Oblivion harder, something like that. What do you have more experience though with Xbox, though?
I do, but like, there's a reason I switched back to PlayStation. The reason I switched to Xbox in the first place was because the PS3 was so expensive.
Yeah.
And although the Xbox was cheaper, actually, like, when you consider the Red Ring of Death, I think I did end up getting two Xboxes in my time with 360s, you know.
I had the Yellow Light of Death on PS3.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Yeah, but, you know, other than that, like, I think the main pull for me was I'm a fan of the original Halo trilogy, and I've long thought about getting either a 360 and just so I can play the Halo games again, or possibly an Xbox One so I could play the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah.
However, that's not coming out on PC, so I don't really have any reason really to ever switch over to Xbox. I think the reason that I wouldn't, you know, you ask what would it take, is because of the exclusives that are available on PlayStation.
Right.
Sony's consoles, and you know, thus far, basically, if the PS5 goes the same way that the PS4 did in terms of the exclusive battle in the marketplace, then I don't think Xbox are going to win that, and that's the main reason I think that you might choose either Xbox or PlayStation, you know, depending on which exclusives you want to play.
Yeah.
So other than like the rare games, which they're not really using at the moment.
No.
I don't think Microsoft have a great deal that really pulls me in.
Mm. It's a similar deal for me in that I think it's fairly obvious that at least currently the exclusive lineup on PlayStation is head and shoulders above.
Yeah.
Pretty much all their competition. Nintendo continues to release very, very strong first party IPs, but I'm not a huge Mario guy.
No,
and
me neither.
You know, so that's not really for me. But you know, if Xbox suddenly said, okay, here's 10 games that are game of the year, genre defining narrative experiences, which is what PlayStation has become known for in recent years, in the sort of past decade or so. Even then, I probably wouldn't be too likely to switch over, because I mean, it's fairly obvious, but I'm a big old PlayStation fanboy.
You're a
trophy. I'm not ashamed to admit that, but there's a big difference between being sort of a venomous, spiteful little child man who's like, I want to see Xbox lose, and then someone who just prefers a console because they feel some sort of brand loyalty towards that company.
Yeah.
I've always had a PlayStation. You know, all my friends are on PlayStation, all my trophies and my save data and all that kind of stuff. Increasingly, as you see cross save and like playing your old games, you know, backwards compatibility, all that kind of stuff. There's definitely stuff Xbox has that PlayStation doesn't. Games with Gold is arguably better value currently than PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, I would say so.
Their Xbox Game Pass is a really good idea. Mm-hmm. They've got loads going for it. And honestly, the stronger the Xbox is, the better that is for PlayStation, because you have to keep up, you have to compete.
Yeah.
And it's good to have two strong ecosystems. So it's not about hating one and loving the other. It's just I don't think there would be much that would make that would make me want to switch to Xbox, just because I've always preferred PlayStation.
Yeah, no, I think I largely feel the same. Like I say, the price tag at the time, I just couldn't afford a PS3.
No, of course, but it was obscene.
Yeah, I think when I say, oh yeah, this is what, you know, it would take some really good exclusives for me to switch, that's not exactly what I mean. What I mean is the reason I am on PlayStation, the first, you know, what the thing that I enjoy most about PS4 is the exclusives. And when people ask me, should I get an Xbox or a PlayStation, I say, which exclusives do you want to play? That's what you should do. But yeah, like, if Xbox brought out a whole load of interesting new exclusives, I'm not saying I would then go, okay, right, well, there you go. See you later, PlayStation.
Yeah.
Especially because PS5 allegedly is going to have quite a strong backwards compatibility game as well. So
yeah.
You know, that's all very exciting and intriguing. So, yeah, I think that's where we both are, really.
Mm. Open to the possibility, but not endorsing it. And
no.
And Jennifer Kins, Jack Jennykins.
Jack Jens.
You'd be very welcome on the PlayStation community.
Oh, yeah, welcome. You're, one of us.
It's not even that. Like, it's just,
no,
I know so many
exactly.
people that jumped to PlayStation after Xbox 360 just because the Xbox One was such a disaster of a launch.
Yeah.
You know, all of the all of the press conferences leading up to it and all the memes and all the negative press and then the price as well and the games too. Like, I'm not a Halo fan.
Yeah.
I'll happily play it, but I'm not a Halo fan and there's not really much else on that console.
I don't like the post-360 Halo games, so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, is that 343 in 343?
Yeah, like, basically Halo 4 onwards, I think, kind of went downhill.
Right.
The one thing that would make me get an Xbox, not Switch, I would still keep my PlayStation, is if Beyond Good and Evil came out exclusively on Microsoft.
Right, well, of course.
Which is unlikely to happen, but before it was announced, there was this weird rumor that had come out saying, it's going to be a Switch exclusive. It's like, what? What are you talking about?
That's bizarre.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, we'll see E3 soon.
Yeah.
Could happen.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, if it comes out exclusively on Switch, then, you know, you can borrow the...
I guess.
The one that we've got, fine. Fine if I have to.
That free Switch that we got, you can borrow it.
You can borrow it.
That was given to the company.
No, yeah. Let's set this clear right now,
yeah.
Okay? This Nintendo Switch, we were very kindly given it at our last place of work.
I'm joking.
I know you are. But I feel like I've now been called out.
Okay.
Because Michael has one. And neither you or I had one. And I really wanted to play and try
it.
Super Mario. Peter wasn't interested. I moved with it just because it was already in my house. And
yeah.
I've said, I just want to make it clear. I've said so many times, if you want to borrow it and just take it, you can have it. Anyway, that's me just having to defend my honor there because I feel like I'm worried that I might be keeping
it's
this.
It's like a guilty conscience.
You kind of, yeah, because it sits there and I don't play it. And I'm thinking, I wonder when Peter's going to ask for it.
You don't play it?
When... The exclusive version of Michelle Ancel's Cry game.
Yeah. You say you don't play that Switch, Ben. Well, I've got a sort of contrasting question.
Okay.
What is it that you do play? What have you been playing?
What's that?
What are you playing?
Is this some kind of segregated way?
What? Yes, it is a segregated way.
Whoa. And we're here.
Whoa,
what a smooth... operator.
We weighed that seg, didn't we?
Get out of the way of that segregation, my dude.
The seggy way. What are you playing, Ben?
What I'm playing, Peter, is not a lot because I've been on holiday.
You have been on holiday.
I did take my Game Boy Advance with me.
I saw.
And I play that so infrequently, but it's always got a copy of Pokemon Fire Red in it and a couple of AA batteries.
Ooh.
So it's ready to go. And I posted a photo of it on Instagram, and people were saying, how on earth are you playing that in, like, with all the sunshine and stuff? It's like, do you not remember when screens weren't backlit? Like, it's kind of the only way to play it.
Yeah.
Is to have some sort of bright light in the same vicinity as you. Otherwise, you can't see what's going on. So
True.
It was actually perfect. I keep forgetting where I am in that game. And because I play it so infrequently, I've decided to do the classic approach to playing Pokemon games, which is literally just use your starter Pokemon for everything. And everybody else is just sort of there to learn the moves you need to sort of proceed through
right.
the world,
yeah.
the HM moves and so on. So I've got like a level 70 Charizard and everyone else is level 15.
Yeah.
So it's just Charizard doing all the heavy lifting. So that was fun. Played that for a few hours on the beach, and that was cool. I'm a cool guy, and I do cool stuff.
Yeah.
But outside of that, more Borderlands, the pre-sequel, continuing to be... I'm really taking the time to smell the roses this time with this game. Both my friend and I agreed that, like... Because when you hand in quests, it's very tempting to hand in all of them at the same time.
Yeah.
And just get all that XP rush. But every time you hand in a quest, it triggers some voiceover to say thank you or whatever.
Right.
And also whenever you take a quest. So if there's a bounty board with a load of quests on it and you take them all at the same time, you only hear the voiceover for the last one you took.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're doing it systematically, taking one, listening to it, and then taking the other or handing them in and so on. And the writing in that game is so good, but... It's also, and I think I talked about it last time, it's also quite subtle. You know, Borderlands 2 is really funny and really good. But Borderlands, the pre-sequel, I'm not sure who wrote it. I'm not sure if it was written by the same Australian team that worked on it.
Right.
But certainly the humor is very Australian, and there's some great sort of crossover Commonwealth humor in there.
Okay.
Not to say for a second that Americans and people from other places can't appreciate it, but I'm just saying it's different from the humor that was in Borderlands 2.
Right.
And it's much appreciated, and I'm really enjoying
it. It's not just all jokes about driving on the left.
No, it's not. I mean, Australians don't do that anyway.
Yeah, they do, I think.
Do they?
I think they're one of the only, like, non-British countries that drive on the left.
I thought it was, like, Britain, Japan, and that was about it.
Let us know in the comments. I, for some reason, have that in my head, but it might not. Maybe it's New Zealand. I think it's somewhere in Oceania. There's another country that drives on the left.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was Australia, but maybe either not. Way, there's no roads in Borderlands.
No.
It's all just flying, zipping all over
zipping
the place.
Zipping and zopping. The world is your road.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a world, it's a moon, technically.
Well, it, yeah.
Moon,
okay.
Moon zoomy. And if you want a taste of the silly humor in that game, because there are a lot of side quests that are literally just jokes,
yeah,
basically punchlines, whereas coming from Borderlands 1, which was literally I need you to shoot 25 of these, thanks, and then in this one there's Steve McDunkerson or whatever his name is,
yeah,
and he's lining up for the world's biggest dunk, basketball dunk,
right,
and there are these boost pads in the pre-sequel because there's far less gravity, so you can sort of zoom about in the sky a bit. Mm-hmm. And you get him his ball back. And once you get him his ball, he runs up, hits the boost pad, and just goes, basketball! And just fades up into space, just disappears off into the sky and never comes back.
That's amazing.
And the commentator's like, wow, that was the biggest dunk I've ever seen. A huge day for basketball. And it's ridiculous. The clip, I post it on Twitter if you want to see it. But the pre-sequel, I'm like, gameplay-wise, it's a bit grindy and not quite as diverse as Borderlands 2, but certainly I think the writing really carries it, and I'm enjoying it a lot more by paying attention to it this time around.
Okay.
Something that there's a real issue with Borderlands, because there's often four of you running around shooting stuff and picking stuff up.
Yeah.
You don't, or you're talking to each other. You know, you're not really taking the time to listen to this stuff and read this stuff. But fantastic. I'm really enjoying playing it through again.
Mm-hmm.
What are you playing, peeps?
Well, as well as more Spider-Man, which I'm really enjoying. This week we finished the Star Wars Battlefront campaign.
Ooh.
On stream.
Yes.
And we begun a little old game from the PlayStation 1 that I enjoy very much.
PlayStation 1?
It's one that I talk about fairly frequently. It's called The Unholy War.
Oh no.
Which is a weird name, really.
Yeah.
And I'm not really surprised it faded into
non-holy.
Obscurity. Yeah. Yeah.
Ex-holy.
Really strange.
D-holy.
But it's a sort of a sci-fi brawler game. It's a bit like Smash Bros, except the roster is smaller and it's no one you recognize, and they only have three attacks each.
Is this an Uncle Austin game?
It is, actually, yeah, it is. It's a game that I first played around my uncle's house when I was very young, probably six, maybe.
The Unholy Austin.
Yeah, absolutely. Uncle Holy War. But I'm really enjoying it. It's got this sort of chess sort of mode where you move pieces around a board, but when they meet each other, it's not like in chess where you just take the piece off the board that you want to take. They then have to have a fight in the brawl mode, so you then like go down into the world and those two have an actual like third person 3D fight in an arena.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite interesting.
Mm.
So there is some actual strategy involved, and just really enjoying that.
Oh.
And it's emulating perfectly as well.
Is it?
Which is, yeah, really
not like
good.
Time Splitters.
No.
Which we also finished off last week.
Oh, we did.
Week.
Yeah, last we did.
Week? Yeah, technically last week at the time of recording.
Yeah.
Before I went away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of Twitch, Peter, we should also say we've got a couple of new emotes now on Twitch. For some reason, I think we must have fulfilled some sort of criteria because we're not partnered, we're affiliated.
Yeah.
As we've explained before, we have the option to become partners on Twitch, but we've chosen not to because contractually that stops us from streaming on YouTube. And of course, we stream on YouTube on Thursdays and we don't want that. So they limit the amount of emotes you're allowed to use if you're an affiliate. And we used all of ours,
yeah,
but for some reason, some more opened up. So there's a couple of more emotes now there if you want to go look at those. So if you're a subscriber on Twitch at any tier, you get access to two new emotes now that you can use. And we should also say a big welcome and thank you and hello and good night and goodbye and welcome to our two Twitch moderators who have now joined us to sort of keep an eye, yes, on chat and make sure people aren't being naughty, which they never are because you guys are amazing and so lovely.
Surprisingly nice community.
Cecil Prumps and Lord Brotovich.
Brotovich.
Brotovic.
Brotovic.
Brot of Victoria.
Brotovic.
And so you'll see those guys bobbing in and out of the chat, making sure you're up to no good, making sure you're up
making
to no
sure
good,
you're
making
up
sure
to
there's
no bad.
There's actual silly business happening. And equally, while we just keep this train running, we've got James in the office now.
Oh, we do have James in the office
now. We've been joined full time by a video editor and scriptwriter. A lot of the voiceovers and the lists that you've seen recently will have been written by James.
So I'll credit in the description now. You can see if he's written
it. It is. And we've also been joined by Molly as well, who's going to be writing for us. So there are things happening. Mm. And the E3 coverage, especially, we're going to be live streaming along. Again, more news on that soon.
Yeah.
We're going to be live streaming reactions to the conferences. So if you want to watch those live, you can watch us provide idiot commentary along. Mm. But also the reactions to them and our predictions and punishments are sort of, hopefully, they're the kind of things that we want to start doing a bit more of now that we've had some stuff taken off our plate.
Yeah, we've got a team now of loads of writers and loads of editors, and the editors they're starting to really nail down the format as well. You know, that's always a bit of a slow process at first when you have some new editors to the channel, but they all know what they're doing. They're doing good stuff. So it's becoming a bit more of a well-oiled production line.
Yes.
And it means we'll be able to start doing some more interesting things.
Which silly things.
We've hinted at.
For a little while.
We did say a little hello last Thursday, I think, on a stream. People keep asking me about that now, and I'm like, I'm revealing no more.
There's literally nothing planned currently.
No.
Like, we say that, like, we're ready to go with, like, a million things, but it is happening.
We
it
just have happen. Ideas. But,
yes, yeah. But we'll be able to do them soon, which is the exciting thing. Peter, question two.
Yes.
This is from Parrotmancer.
Michael Johnson.
Parrotmancer. Parrot Man, sir, says, thoughts on the rumored collaboration between George R.R. Martin and George R.R. Martin and Hidetaka Miyazaki?
I heard about this. We don't know what it is. We don't know when to expect it.
Nope.
But there's a game.
Yeah.
Coming out.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
Which has George R.R. Martin of Game of Thrones attached to it.
Yeah.
It also has Mr. Miyazaki, or maybe it's Mr. Hidetaka, because they sometimes put their names the other way around, don't they?
I think it's Miyazaki-san I think it, written in English, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, I understand. I don't know how it works.
It's okay.
But what we don't know, and this is the thing that kind of intrigues me the most, is whether it's going to be Soulsborne-style difficulty. What we do know, in theory, is that it's open world and involves horse riding. But whether it's an open world with horse riding Soulsborne kind of game, or whether it's something a bit of a kind of deviation from that, I don't know what to expect.
Well, we've got a little excerpt here.
Yeah.
Miyazaki, of course, is Dark Souls, Mr. Dark Souls. Mm. That's his given name, by
right.
the way. Hidetaka Miyazaki, Mr. Dark Souls.
Or Souls-san.
Souls-san.
Yeah.
Susan. Hidetaka Susan Miyazaki, Dark. AKA Susan Dark.
Yeah.
Very quickly, Peter, yay or nay, the Game of Thrones finale.
I'm fine with it.
I was a staunch defender of that entire last season.
Yeah, me too.
Until the last episode, and then I was like, okay. All right.
I would have put someone else in the throne, personally.
In the throne?
Well, not in.
I thought we were already talking about Tiny Peter being in the throne because he fell through the gaps.
Not in on the throne. I was what
right,
I meant.
Okay.
In the position of power.
Right.
Yeah. Not, no spoilers, but that character I've never really liked.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
No.
Anyway, Polygon says, a new blog post by George R.R. Martin following the series finale of Game of Thrones teases that the author has been helping make a video game. The blog post says that he's been very busy lately and even consulted on a video game out of Japan. Mm. While those details aren't too specific, a source told Gematsu that From Software is working on an unannounced title with Martin, known internally as
G-R-R-R-R-R-R.
The Gematsu report also notes that the title will be officially announced at Microsoft's E3 press conference this year, and it's a collaboration between Martin and Susan, known for his Souls series. The source explains that the game has been in development for 3 years already and is an open-world game with horse riding. It will be published by Bandai Namco.
Martin 3 years. Sound like neighbours who have a caravan.
I thought George R. R. Martin is just married to Susan.
Yeah, right. Okay.
He's
Susan Martin.
Susan.
George and Susan Martin.
George and Susan R. 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 Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 3 years, that's the only thing that sort of takes me by surprise here. I'm not entirely sure how big From Software is. I'm assuming they've expanded a lot in the last few years, bearing in mind they were working on Bloodborne, at least the A-team was working on Bloodborne, while a good portion of the studio was working on Dark Souls 2.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, Sekiro is something they've been working on for quite a while as well. While you know they were working on Dark Souls 3. So they've clearly got enough teams to be doing stuff, but it says it's been in development for 3 years.
Maybe Bloodborne 2 is an open-world horse-riding game.
Oh, my goodness. The only horses you see in Bloodborne are dead on the floor.
Well,
well, apart
anymore.
From a couple of frosty horses, but then when you get to the destination, surprise, cosmic horror alert, you turn around, the carriage you arrived in is destroyed, and there are broken dead horses on the floor, the same one that you just got there with. What?
What? How did that happen?
Oh, it's crazy. Anyway, I don't think it's Bloodborne 2.
No, I don't think it's Bloodborne 2.
Don't think George R.R. Martin would have any guidance to offer Suze and Dark Souls.
No.
On Bloodborne and where that Bloodborne 2 and where that should go narratively.
No, it's interesting that like he has just sort of said on his blog, oh, I was even consulted on a video game out of Japan, which kind of sounds like it was one phone call or one meeting
from executive producer Steven Spielberg.
Yeah,
he was there for one meeting.
Executive producer Steven George Martin Spielberg is saying, you know, I was just consulted on it. Whereas the source that told Gamatsu about this kind of implies that it's an actual RR game. You know,
oh my goodness,
it's like, you know, it's
survival RR. It could be a survival horror game.
Took me a while, that
yeah,
one.
No, it's an obscure one.
So I don't know what to expect, even in terms of like the level at which he is involved.
Yes.
But I guess if the entire source is to be believed, we'll find out soon at Microsoft's E3 conference.
And lest we not forget as well that the sort of oft pooped upon final third of the Game of Thrones series probably didn't have a huge amount of involvement of him.
Of Aura, yeah.
Of Aura, because it wasn't yet written, so they were sort of having to get a vague idea from him and then take it from there.
He gave him a pile of notes, and that was pretty much it, I think.
Right. So, I mean, I don't want to give him too much of benefit of the doubt here, but if people are seeing his name and going, oh, God, the Game of Thrones guy? Really? I think people, thankfully, are able to distinguish between the showrunners and the writers of Game of Thrones and George R.R.R. Martin. So hopefully, you know, this is a good thing.
Yeah,
because he clearly can create really interesting and fascinating worlds, and just how much incest is going to be in this game. That remains to be seen.
Anyone want to have sex with your sister over your incest child's dead body?
While riding a horse.
I mean, but even within that, you know, like you say, me and you are both kind of fine with the final season and the seasons before that of Game of Thrones. So I wouldn't even mind if the showrunners ended up getting involved in a game at some point.
No, they're going to ruin Star Wars for you instead.
Yeah, that's the next thing that they're doing. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But I mean, some people say that they rushed out the final season so that they could go and just do Star Wars.
Well, apparently, not to get too far into it, they were offered all the money in the world to stay there and do another couple of seasons, which would have made sense.
Yeah, they needed more time is all.
They did.
So they won't necessarily ruin Star Wars because they hopefully won't be under the same time constraints to go off and do Star Wars because they'll be doing Star Wars already. But anyway.
Well, I think that's an exciting prospect. Mm. Anything mid-attacky.
Midichlorians.
Susan Midichlorian, God's sake. If Miyazaki is involved, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Because presumably that's just a From Software game. And From Software, on the whole, don't make bad games.
They've not really done a poop for a while.
Not done.
They've got constipation.
They've got constant patience.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's exciting that could be announced at E3. Maybe that'll be one of my predictions. We'll just have to wait and see, won't we? But interesting and intriguing, and I am looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Of course, E3.
Yeah.
Sometimes the purveyor of some rather strange events.
What?
Which might make the news.
Weird news.
Weird news.
People.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It's weird news time.
It is. I am ready.
What have you got for me?
You know how you said that in Bloodborne?
Yes, Peter.
There are like dead horses and stuff.
Yeah, those are super dead, aren't they?
Ben?
Yeah?
Red Dead Online is filled with massive piles of dead and burned horses. did you know that?
I didn't know that.
This has been reported by various places. I found that the write-up, just coincidentally, the best write-up was Kotaku.
Oh, our favourite.
Yeah, I kind of didn't want to choose them, but like, I guess you get what you pay for when you're a big company.
We should just give it a pet name now, shouldn't we, as we do with everything else?
Yeah.
Ethically, journalistically, and because I didn't say that right, we now don't have to do what I'm about to say because I haven't promised anything I misspoke. But journalistically, ethically, we always have to give credit to Kotaku, but I feel like we should also give it a name, like maybe Kevin at Taku or something.
Kevin Taku. Yeah, maybe so. I was trying to just mix it up and choose a different source, but they just wrote it the best. So,
okay.
It's from Kotaku again.
Yeah.
Kotaku reports, Red Dead Online players jumping into the game yesterday and today have discovered something terrible and strange. This was written on the 19th of May.
Okay.
Piles of burned horse carcasses outside towns, like Valentine or Valentine.
My
I've
God.
Not played the game. Many are surprised to find these piles, and it seems to be the result of a newly discovered duplication bug.
Wow.
First reports of this disturbing bug popped up Saturday night, and since then across Reddit and Twitter, players shared images and stories of the dead horse piles. Some players reported the glitch to Rockstar on their Twitter support account.
So you're telling me Red Dead Redemption 2 has piles?
It does. Would you like to see one of the piles?
I'd love to see one of the piles.
It's opened in the Twitter app.
That's okay.
Touch the photo.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
It's loading. Oh, here it comes. We'll put it in the link dump, a link to the article. There they are.
Oh, that is horrifying.
That's just appearing, like the game is doing it.
That's the game rebelling.
Yeah.
Is this some actual Westworld stuff going on right now?
Well, one interesting thing I did see in a different article was that someone on, I think, Reddit said, actually, I think what you'll find is that once upon a time in the 1800s in the Old West, there was this man who, I think his wife like stole a horse or something.
Yeah.
And he went round killing all horses that looked the same as that horse and
leaving
them outside a town in a pile. So it could be a reference to that. It's not a reference
That is reaching, isn't it? It really is.
One player was creeped out by how strange the pile behaved. You can't shoot the piles of burned, rotten, dead horses, but if you shoot near them, they make loud noises.
What the
explained
hell?
Explained one Reddit user on PS4 in a post titled, What is this Lovecraftian S-word? What is this Lovecraftian S-word?
Stuff, yeah.
Players seem to believe the strange corpse pile was created by a newly discovered duplication bug, which allowed players to catch one large fish and then, using a method involving their horse, clone that fish into their inventory. Some are reporting this bug might have been partially fixed via a hotfix or server-side update from Rockstar.
Oh.
Since this article was written, Rockstar have said that they fixed this.
Right.
They didn't say, we fixed the bug that makes loads of dead burned horses appear outside of town.
Patch 3.4. Dead horse apocalypse.
Removed
fixed.
The horse apocalypse bug. what they actually said was, we have fixed a duplication glitch that is taking place and some of the side effects thereof.
Right. That's
the
very,
dead horses.
Very political.
Yeah. A few players are pointing towards empty towns and a lack of NPCs spawning as a sign of a temporary fix by Rockstar. Mm-hmm. So yeah, loads of people were saying that their world had become a ghost town. So right. all they had were giant piles of dead horses making noises and no one in the towns, no wildlife in the world. And people were saying, like, occasionally, like, a stagecoach will turn up, rolling along, but with no driver on
it. Oh, my God, because all the horses are dead.
Yeah.
This really does sound like something out of Westworld, where the hosts are starting to gain sentience and realize what's going on. They're on these sort of pre-programmed tracks that they've got to stick to, and then they're starting to realize what's going on, and then it's causing all sorts of bugs in their software, and they're just burning and murdering the horses and putting them in piles and then just continuing with their day as if nothing else matters.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's worse on PlayStation 4, but some people are reporting it on Xbox. But as if you need any more proof that it's not a reference to a historical event in which a man killed loads of horses and all the towns emptied of their people and wildlife. Apparently it's causing actual performance issues as well, having that many bodies.
Right, I would imagine
together.
So, yeah.
So it's probably not been put in intentionally by Rockstar.
No.
And, yeah, since this happened, it has allegedly been fixed. Something similar happened apparently earlier this year after players used a dupe glitch to protest a Red Dead Online update they disliked, and piles of cougars were appearing in towns. But I don't think it was as bad or catastrophic back
catastrophic.
Then. Catastrophic.
Very good.
Ben?
Yeah?
Is there anything else weird happening in the video game world?
There is, actually. I saw this and I saved it, and I didn't even read it until this morning.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'm glad that I did. This is from Polygon. Watch in awe as a real pastor baptizes an anime girl in a video game.
How? Hello? Hello? Help.
Searmore, a YouTuber known for finding humane stories in VR chat, has documented one of the most fascinating phenomenons to come out of virtual reality.
Phenomenons?
Not phenomenons. Yeah, thanks, Polygon. Not only do people go to church in a video game, there's also a pastor who performs baptisms digitally for those looking to cleanse themselves spiritually.
But you said he's a real pastor.
Yeah, he is a real
pastor.
Real pasta. Real pasta.
Straight from Italy.
Tesco value real pasta. We promise. It's cheap, but it's real.
Pasta sauce.
In an unreal 10-minute video, Searmore interviews DJ Soto, a Christian pastor who is looking to redefine what faith looks like. As Soto tells it, part of his interest in taking up a virtual house of prayer is that it opens up the experience to people who might otherwise be excluded, from real-world congregations.
I see.
Such as folks in wheelchairs and recovering drug addicts. Yeah. Soto describes one instance where he baptized a woman who couldn't leave her home, and the experience was so intense that she started bawling, as she never thought she'd have the opportunity to do it, given her condition.
Oh.
His service also allows him to reach people he couldn't if he preached solely through typical avenues. He has been performing virtual reality baptisms for a year now.
Not to, you know, sort of crap on a nice sentiment there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that, like, maybe small denominations can't manage it, but like, the big Christian denominations do send out, like, clergymen to baptize people in hospitals and stuff.
It is doable.
Yeah.
I think it is doable.
Anyway, yeah.
That was touching. Now we move on to sort of just how weird it is.
Mm.
It's a moving tale that is juxtaposed with the complete absurdity of VR chat. Much of the conversation takes place in the clouds, with a sunset gracefully resting in the distance. A Winnie the Pooh and a pink-haired anime girl listen closely as Soto describes his spiritual journey.
Oh, God.
Later on...
Yeah, all the branded characters you
Yeah,
can get.
Just...
I can just imagine them, a motley crew of weird pop culture
this
icons.
This is the Smash Bros. Of baptisms. Later on, Soto actually performs the ritual on the anime girl in what appears to be a bathhouse. There is no actual water, of course, but all the same, the person on the other side of the room, other side of the screen, crouches into the pool.
So he doesn't even dunk them, because obviously he can't. They have to crouch into the pool.
They have to just play along. The character stays down there as Soto describes the symbolism of baptism, which is meant to help people start anew with the grace of God by their...
Sorry, I'm just reading ahead.
By the grace of God at their side, the audience which includes a banana. Cheers.
Okay.
Oh, God. It just goes on. And then SpongeBob... I can't even read it.
I can see on your screen.
And then SpongeBob SquarePants steps into the water and soaks it all up. God bless video games.
It soaks it all up.
Soaks it all up.
If they implemented that into the game...
I don't know.
If a sponge steps into the bath, the water is soaked up.
I don't know. It's just... That is just one of my favorite stories.
That's incredible. It's well written. Well done, Polygon.
Yeah, I'm just going to wipe the laughter juice off my eyeballs there. I need to read a bit of that again.
A Winnie the Pooh listens intently.
It's a moving tale that is juxtaposed with the complete absurdity of VR chat. Much of the conversation takes place in the clouds, with the sunset gracefully resting in the distance. A Winnie the Pooh and a pink-haired anime girl listen closely as Soto describes his spiritual journey.
One of whom is a banana.
One of whom is a banana. The character stays down there as Soto describes the symbolism of baptism, which is meant to help people start anew with the grace of God by their side. The audience, which includes a banana, cheers. And then SpongeBob SquarePants steps into the water and soaks it all up. It just sounds like a fanfic.
He's unable to dunk them into the bath, but the anime girl crouches
the
anyway.
Anime girl just plays along. Oh, it's amazing. I haven't watched the video of it, but that description. I saw someone tweet it and I thought, that's weird.
Yeah.
I'm going to save. I just emailed it to myself from Twitter, like some sort of troglodyte, including, you know, the email is like, Ben Potter wants to send you this tweet.
Yeah.
It's like your grandma printing off a meme and posting it to you.
But what she's done is she's taken a photograph of her TV screen.
Yes.
Of her computer screen.
You might like this, yeah. XO. Well, there we go. There was some weird news for you, Peter.
That was pretty weird.
God, I gave it a brief read earlier and I thought it was funny, but reading it out loud was
difficult.
It's kind of a challenge, actually. Let's move on to question three.
Let's.
What we got, peeps?
We've got a question here that's been asked multiple times. Here are just a few cases. What's the most disappointing game you've ever played? What's been your biggest letdown in gaming? What are some games you thought didn't live up to the hype? Those are from Steve Wingfield, Rhys Jones, and Patricia Busquet.
We haven't been corrected yet.
No, we haven't. And loads of other people have asked similar such questions.
Yes.
We couldn't even list them all. So thank you everyone who asked that question over the past few weeks, because it's a good one.
Thank you very much.
Ben.
Yeah.
Other than, I don't know if you're going to mention some obvious ones. I've just seen what's written on your sheet there.
And have you?
You're not going to. So what I will obviously throw down is, you know, the likes of No Man's Sky and Duke Nukem
right.
and stuff. But
yeah.
I think we should maybe deviate slightly from the obvious choices.
Yeah, so I'm not talking like generally like Fallout 76, biggest disappointment ever. Like personally for me... Mm. You know, as we've spoken about before, we're very fortunate in that we don't have to buy a lot of our games anymore. We get sent codes to cover, to provide coverage on, and that sort of stuff. So yeah, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2, I was really looking forward to it. It was amazing, but it wasn't for me. Mm. And I suppose in that sense, it was disappointing. But it would be way worse if I had a financial investment in it.
Yeah.
These are games that I specifically remember saving up for, looking forward to, wanting, and then buying and being. Just thoroughly
disappointed. Yeah, that's what mine are as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, this goes back to the PS3 era, because then I was like super, super getting into games properly. Like, I was reading PlayStation M3 magazine, PSM3, every month. And I really wanted to get the Spider-Man 3 video game.
Ah. Oh.
Because I hadn't played the Spider-Man 2 video game, but all of the coverage, because I wasn't like going online for any sort of coverage of games and stuff at that point. I was just reading this magazine.
Yeah.
It was just shouting about how amazing Spider-Man 2 was.
Oh, absolutely.
And how exciting Spider-Man 3 could be. And it was an awesome box because it had like a lithographic... sleeve that when you tilted it one way it was Spider-Man, you tilted it the other way it was black suit Spider-Man.
Oh yeah,
and that was so cool. And like on the store shelf it just looked like it was like black and gold colorings
with
and stuff.
Text matching the PlayStation
for some reason, PlayStation 3 font. So it looked awesome, and I bought it, and I played it for like maybe a couple of hours, and it sucked. Aww. And that was one that I went into game and paid actual money for and probably traded in games to get.
And off the back of such a good game as well, the Spider-Man 2.
I was disappointed. The other one, for similar reasons, Unreal Tournament 3 was being hyped up Like Nobody's Business by PSM3 magazine at the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what Unreal Tournament was. Obviously, it's just a, you know, it's a tournament shooter, basically. What's it called? An arena shooter?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? I can't remember what the genre is. But yeah, not for me anyway, as someone who'd never really had a PC that could play games.
Yeah.
But they were hyping it up as, it's going to be four-player cooperative. It's going to have a story and a campaign. And I was like, oh my God, this sounds awesome. Like,
yeah.
So me and two of my friends went into game. We had to get one of my friend's dads to buy it for us because we weren't 18.
Oh,
we all paid full price for this game, yeah. Which was, I think, £50 was the RRP at the time, $49.99. We all paid, which is a huge amount for, you know, a few lads in secondary school.
Yeah.
We'd saved up money. We all bought it. And then we came back for a sleepover at my house.
Oh, my God.
Right? And we were going to play it. And it was awful.
Yeah.
Like, it... Because basically, the story mode, which we were all looking forward to and excited for.
The four-player co-op story mode.
Yeah, that had been promised by this magazine, which clearly either I or they had got the wrong end of the stick about.
Yeah.
Boiled down to literally just being, here's a new arena to fight in, first person to five wins, with like maybe a piece of spoken dialogue between each one.
To loosely tie together.
What is essentially the multiplayer. Yeah, so we just played that for like a few hours and we're like, this is not what we were expecting. And I'm not saying that Unreal Tournament 3 is a bad game, but it was not what I wanted.
Yeah, just disappointing for you.
And I returned it the next day.
Did you?
Went back to game and I returned it with the receipt. So
just saying, did they ask why?
Didn't want it.
You just didn't want it.
Just it wasn't. I'd just like my money back, please. Right. So yeah, that was those are two that spring to mind. That, of course, there are, as you stated, a lot of games that could be considered disappointing. But those two stick with me as sort of,
yeah,
I saved up for this.
That's what mine are, you know, because it's easy to say. I mean, like, I played Colonial Marines and stuff, but that, you know, yes. Stuff like that's too obvious. Like, in terms of very personal stories. I'm a big Tekken boy for my fighting games. You know, I like a bit of Soul Calibur, but Tekken is my main fighting game that I like to play. Tekken 1, 2, and 3, all good. I had those on PlayStation. Tekken 3 was great. And lots of people, it's one of their top 10 PS1 games, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Tekken Tag Tournament on PS2 is probably my favorite Tekken game of all time.
Nice.
And after that came Tekken 4, which I thought was pretty dreadful.
Oh, no.
For all manner of reasons, really, I thought, like, I don't know, it felt really weird. The actual campaign, if you can call it that, like the story mode that you played, was really odd. Where like it ended in a big arena fight, which was kind of cool, but it a lot of them you would be up against this robot called Combot. As in like combat, but it's a robot, and it's a robot that can fight. And
rubbish.
He would be like either your final or like your penultimate fight. And it's like, who is this? What is this? And I think it was one of those, there's various characters that have done it in Tekken over the years that can just adopt the fighting style of like any character. And it when you do that, immediately a character has less depth because they're less unique and recognizable. Because from one match to the next, they'll be standing with a different stance. That might not be the case for Combat, but I think it was. So that was a letdown. Also, my favorite character in Tekken is Paul Phoenix, who's like a badass kind of biker guy.
Is that the guy with the tall hair?
Really tall hair.
Yeah.
In Tekken 4, he's got long like hair around his head.
What console was Tekken 4 on?
PS2.
Ah, okay. I was going to say, because if it was early PS3, it's sort of... Or maybe it was late PS2. I don't know. You can correct me. But that was sort of the angsty period where video games were sort of like, let's reinvent our popular character and make him... Let's give tattoos to Crash and all that sort of nonsense.
I mean, at the end of Paul's story in that, he sees himself in his motorbike mirror and he goes, not my style, and takes off these stupid shades he's been wearing all the way through and like looks at his hair and you know he's going to drive off and go and invest in some hair cream and get
go get the Brill cream and some VO5 wax.
But it was just a massive letdown, really, for
a game
that I was super excited about. The other one as well, I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, actually, Halo 4.
Yeah.
Halo 1, 2, and 3 and Halo Reach are mostly about the humans battling against the Covenant, which is just a conglomerate of various alien races.
Mm-hmm.
And then occasionally you get the Flood who come in, who are like a parasitic zombie, almost Cordyceps style.
Right.
Third faction. Halo 4, they introduced like all this crazy stuff about Forerunners. It's a bit like, what are those alien prequels called? Prometheus.
Yeah, Prometheus.
It's like, you know, you're excited about the aliens, and then like it starts, and then it's like, oh, who are all these like pre-human
strange idiots?
And all the architecture and stuff was super weird, and it just didn't feel like Halo to me. And I know they were trying to reinvent it and sort of go, right, we've done like four games now where it's just humans versus Covenant, but I just wanted more of that. That's all I wanted. And there was some Covenant to fight, but it's just, that's not what it was. It just didn't feel the same, you know?
That's a shame.
Yeah, and that kind of put me off forever, really. Halo 4 and 5, I thought both had really good sound design. The guns sounded really cool, particularly Halo 5 as well, like, was really good, but... Mm-hmm. Just because a gun sounds good, you know, doesn't save a game. It's about the only
Rage 2.
Yeah, exactly. Should have called all the characters with wrestling names, I guess.
Yeah, well, that would have made things much better, wouldn't it?
Anyway,
are those your disappointing games?
Yeah, I cried. I didn't cry.
Oh, Peter, I'm sorry.
I didn't know
that.
Such thing.
Well,
time for a big old discussion.
It's there go my papers. Mm. It's time. It's discussion time.
It's enormous.
Big discussion time, peeps.
Yeah.
This time, it's not actually... I think this time, for the first time, it's not triggered by a question from the patrons. This
the
is
first
just,
time?
It's just a thing that's happened this week.
Oh, I thought we've done that before, that we brought something in off our own backs, but maybe not.
Well,
on my chair. It's not on wheels. It's hard to do.
It is. The Playdate handheld is a new handheld console that was announced this week, Peter, sort of seemingly out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a thing now from Variety that sort of describes it. There's a couple of weird... It's written weird, this, basically, and I didn't want to rewrite it because it's directly from Variety.
Okay.
But here we go. Portland-based Panic has a shiny new games console called Playdate and a slew of new games to go with it, the developer announced Wednesday via Twitter. Playdate is a bright yellow handheld console with a black and white screen and a crank, which is not for power. This little crank has functionality in some games for the new console. The crank is a gameplay element for the first confirmed game for the new console, again repeating new console called Crankin's Time Travel Adventure, which is from Keita Takahashi, creator behind the imaginative Katamari Damacy. In this game, the little crank will be used to control time itself, moving time backwards and forwards as necessary. Other games won't use the crank, according to Panic. The console will have 11 more new games, but they won't be revealed ahead of time. Each week after the console's 2020 release, a new game will be available in what Panic is calling a full season of games. The games will be delivered over the air once a week for 12 weeks, and there'll be a surprise. When the new game light flashes, you'll never know what you're about to play, according to the official website for the console. Panic recruited some of the world's best game designers, some well-known, others under the radar, to make games exclusively for our system.
Mm.
So this has just come out of nowhere. It's a really cool little design. It looks a bit like a Game Boy.
It does, yeah, a little bit.
The design elements are really interesting as well. It's got the crank, which is just used as basically another controller.
Mm-hmm. It's got a D-pad and then two buttons, like a Game Boy.
A and B.
Yeah.
Yeah, black and white screen. I really love the idea of a season of games where you don't buy games for it. It's got Wi-Fi. We'll list all the stuff about it in a second, but it's got Wi-Fi in it, and
suddenly
it just lights up and says, suddenly a motorbike.
Yeah.
and then suddenly a light comes on and it's like, oh, there's a new game to play, and you have no idea what it is or who it's from or how it'll work.
It's like getting a text, but better because it's a whole game to play.
Yeah.
You're just walking around and then, oh, it's flashing. My console's flashing.
My
new
console.
Game.
Yeah. Obviously, other places have tried to do this, not this exactly, and this is why I think this stands a better chance, like the Ouya, where they're like, we're changing the face of everything, and then it was just a bunch of crap games, like phone games, and no first-party games whatsoever, just all relying on third parties. Here, it looks like, you know, it's so different. It's such a different approach.
I have one issue going from the get-go with this, which is that I think it looks really uncomfortable to hold.
That's a good point.
I think it looks like it's going to be... I mean, you can't hold it symmetrically like that because there's a crank on one side, so you wouldn't hold it like... I don't know. It's very flat and quite broad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost square, really.
Yeah.
It's got sort of corners rather than rounded edges.
Mm-hmm.
It's got... On the face of the square, the corners of the square are rounded, but in terms of the thickness, it's like a book.
Right.
If you see what I mean. You know, mm-hmm. like the edges are sharp.
Or like a custard cream.
Custard cream just kind of
like
rounded
a, just
as well.
Like a custard cream.
But
a yeah. bourbon biscuit.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what it's like, but you know, it's got sharp edges is what I mean.
Right.
The thin bit has sharp edges, uh-huh. the thin dimension. So I don't think it'll be that comfortable to hold, especially with mm-hmm. the crank sticking out. I've seen there's a photo of a lady using one, and she's holding it in one hand.
Yeah.
Between like in a pincer grip, and then she's just got her other hand out on the crank.
Right.
So you have to just hold the entire console in one hand if you want to use the crank, which mm-hmm. I don't know. It's but you know that's only one. You know, hopefully they've tested it in that respect and it's fine to play.
Right.
Because other than that, I think it's quite an intriguing idea.
Yeah, I'm particularly fond, as I said, of the sort of season pass of games and just their approach to designing it in general, where it's not like, we have to compete. Let's give it a 4K
yeah.
color screen, you know, all that kind of nonsense. It's got 3G built in, but you have to have a data plan with some yeah. you know, service provider. I think they are doing the sensible thing here. I mean, launching a console when you're not one of the big three is bold anyway.
It is.
But this is getting a huge amount of attention. So just to run over a couple of things here. Mm. Panic is the publisher behind Untitled Goose Game, developed by House House, and Firewatch, developed by Campo Santo. And Playdate will be its first hardware. By the way, in Firewatch, which a lot of people may have played, there is a handheld console you can find in the world that is remarkably similar looking to this,
okay.
which is a nice nod, given that they must have known they've been working on it for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's been a secret this whole time as well. I suppose nobody's looking to, who's going to be, who should... Who should we be paying attention to? Panic, yes.
Because they're going to be releasing a handheld.
Yeah, the people... God, I'm dying, Peter.
You're dying.
The people who published Untitled Goose Game, they're the ones. They're the future.
They are. It's interesting what you say about, you know, they're not going in for, oh yeah, let's make it 4K and let's try and compete with the Switch so that you can play it anywhere but also play it at home. Mm-hmm. Because one key thing that they've decided not to include... is touchscreen.
Yeah.
So it really is a bit like a Game Boy. It says that it's a deliberate choice to, this is a quote, break people out of their touch psychosis.
Interesting. It's interesting.
An interesting choice. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever had a touchscreen handheld because I stopped playing handhelds several, like a generation or so ago. So,
right. I've had the Vita, obviously. Right. The Vita and the 3DS and yeah. the DS. And so handhelds have been touch capacitive for a while now.
Yeah.
Same with phones, obviously. A lot of people play on their phones.
Yeah, I've played my phone games before, but yeah.
I think there's something to be said, though, for going back to a handheld that can be played without having to touch the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be unique in that it's not going to have Assassin's Creed on it. It's not going to have Call of Duty on it.
Mm.
You know, none of that stuff. It's going to be a collection of 12 basically experimental video games.
Yeah.
And the price apparently is going to be $149. So mm-hmm. it's not bank breaking either.
No.
And if you think about what you're getting, I don't know how it will work going forwards. I suppose that's a larger question. It sounds like you're guaranteed to get 12 games.
Yeah, they might then charge for subsequent seasons potentially, but
yeah.
I don't know who's to say. But
that's the thing, yeah. Like how would they do? I don't know if they have a shop interface or something like that, maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, that's very interesting. And I'm intrigued at the prospect.
It also has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, a USB-C port and headphone jack.
Mm.
And in terms of CPU and RAM, Panic is leaving it at beefy for now and has stated it will reveal more specs on launch. Pre-orders for Playdate will begin later this year and apparently it'll be with us sort of 2020-ish.
Yeah.
But $149 for an experimental new console that's doing interesting stuff. You get 12 games guaranteed. Each of them from a variety of established names and some non-names.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds interesting. I mean, I haven't played Untitled Goose Game, and obviously they didn't develop it, and they didn't develop Firewatch either, but both games are quirky and interesting and different.
Nice art styles as well, both of them.
Exactly.
I think what they've actually tapped into quite well here, I've just sort of realized how this might go down, which is that if suddenly your console starts flashing and it's like, time for a new game, they're going to be trending on Twitter every single time that happens. Yeah. Because everyone is going to be able to play that game at the same time. You know, 12, once a week for 12 weeks, they're going to be like up there on Twitter trends.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good
dominating
move.
The news cycle.
Yeah.
Depending on the game. It'll be very... God, it will almost... Because it's once a week as well, it's not like things that have come before it in video games, like mm-hmm. Telltale games, where you get a new episode God knows when.
Yeah.
This, or even a season pass where you get a new piece of DLC every month or something. Mm-hmm. Because that's proven to be sometimes too long for people to pay attention. You know, by the time the last Spider-Man DLC came out, people had stopped talking about Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It was too late. Same with... Bless it, Fallout 76. No one gives a crap about the updates that are going on. Mm-hmm. Even Fallout 4's DLC and stuff, people paid less and less attention as it went on. And I imagine a lot of people who bought that season pass probably had moved on to other things when they were still releasing stuff. This is going to play out something like a TV show where every week Game of Thrones dominates Twitter.
Mm.
Because every week, as you say, there's going to be a brand new game. Like, and I'm not undermining the amount of effort that goes into... You know, putting together a TV show, because obviously it's a huge, especially Game of Thrones, it's unbelievable
it's amount of production. Movies.
Yeah, exactly. But a game, a new game every time, it's going to be like that. What's that Netflix series? Bad Robot? The one where it's got like 18 episodes in each one, they're all animated and each one is like completely different.
Yeah.
Is it called Bad? No, it's not Bad Robot.
The one that's a bit like Inside Number 9.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't remember what, Death, Love and Robots.
Yes.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bit like that, where every week, not only are you getting a new game, but it's not even going to be like Uncharted 1, Uncharted 2, Uncharted 3.
No,
it's
going
to be completely different.
Mm.
Completely different. And use potentially the crank or not the crank in interesting and different ways.
Yeah. It is intriguing. And I just like the idea of everyone worldwide getting a little flash on their console at the same time. And I mean, you do have to wonder, could that cause some issues with like suddenly everyone wants to start downloading this game immediately all at once?
Yeah, it would kind of ruin the sort of Willy Wonka magic almost, won't it?
If it's
like,
it
sorry guys, our servers are down. What? But my quirky fun device is still beholden to servers.
Maybe they'll be able to sort of preload in the week beforehand. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you might even know that it's happening, but it might just be sort of downloading.
Yeah, you might have to perhaps enable an option for that. But
because
otherwise service agreements and stuff, people who have caps and they've downloaded
the
game secretly.
And games are downloading. But you know, if you sort of allow to download what it needs when it needs, then maybe it'll be almost ready to go. It just needs kind of activating on day of release of each game.
So, I'm very interested in that. I don't know if I will get one. I'm sure we'll find out more as time goes by. Who knows? By the time it comes out, maybe we can reach out to Panic and see if we can get one and
maybe
show it off to you guys, because I know that you know it exists. Clearly, people have been developing with it for a while, and I would imagine it'll show up at various events and stuff.
Yeah.
So we will see. But interesting nonetheless. Make sure you let us know in the comments below what you think of this Playdate handheld. Sounds like a kind of ridiculous name until you actually realize that actually Playdate is quite literally what it is.
Yeah, because each week there'll be a Playdate for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Game Boy is a stupid name anyway, but we're all fine with it.
Yeah.
Peter,
yes.
If people do want to reach out to us in other ways, how can they do that?
You can find us almost everywhere possible at Team Triple Jump.
Yes.
That's our YouTube channel, our Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter and Facebook, we're Team Triple Jump. You can also find us on Patreon at Team Triple Jump, which will allow you to not only support us financially and help the things that you enjoy keep going, but you'll get stuff back in return for helping us.
You will.
Various tiered rewards, like seeing Worst Games Ever early, being able to ask questions on the podcast, all kinds of interesting things. And likewise, if you go to our website, which is triplej.merp, that's J-E.M-P, you can put a little /shop on the end of that and buy our merch, like the shirt that I'm wearing in the video and the mug that I'm drinking out of in the video.
He is. And there's new merch coming very soon.
Yes, there is.
Very, very soon.
You're absolutely right. The one other place that we are is Discord, which is just bit.ly/Team Triple Jump.
Yep.
And this podcast is available at play.acast.com/s/Triple Jump.
Although if you're already listening, there's you've managed to work it out.
Yeah.
And also there's loads of links in the description if you want to find it somewhere else, like iTunes or Spotify or Google Play or Stitcher or whatever. If there's a place we're missing and you'd rather we be on there, let us know and we'll do our best to make that happen. Instagram, Peter.
Yes.
At ThatPeterAustin, at BenPotter20, if you'd like to see some photos sometime. Mm. And at ThatPeterAustin and @confused_dude on Twitter, if you'd like to follow us there too.
Yeah.
Lists, Peter. Mm. We do them every Tuesday and Thursday. Streams are every Monday, Tuesday and Thursday. Monday and Tuesday on Twitch. Thursdays on YouTube. We need a new game to play together next week.
Oh, we do.
I think, are we leaning towards Until Dawn, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
That could be a fun one.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think of that.
Or that that other one, that murder one.
Yes, that too, murder one.
The murder one.
Worst games. That's fortnightly. We play a terrible video game sent in by you. We've just done one last week. Mm. It was Rambo, the video game. It was very good, by the way.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for working so hard on that.
You're very welcome.
And those usually release on Sundays. But if you're a patron, you get it 2 days early.
Nice.
You can get it on Friday. Finally, the podcast is every Saturday. And please do leave an iTunes review or a review on your platform of choice. It helps. It really does. Thank you very much. And I think that's all.
That's everything.
That's everything. God, blimey, what a week, eh?
Mm.
Can't wait to record another one in 3 days' time.
Yeah, that's what happens when you leave it late, and suddenly it comes around again. And there's no weird news, because we've done it all.
Oh.
Nothing weird's happened in 3 days.
I wonder if anyone else has been digitally baptized while SpongeBob watches on intently. The banana,
they can't
cheers.
Now, because he's absorbed all the holy water
and
run off with it.
What a bastard.
Oh, God.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We've just got time for a quick word from our sponsors this week.
We absolutely have. It's brought to you by, oh man, smell that.
I do.
Oh, delicious.
What is it?
It's a sweet roll.
Yeah.
This is brought to you by Lydia's Sweet Rolls.
Oh.
Thanks, Lydia. Old Mama Lydia's Sweet Rolls.
Old Mama Lydia and her sweet rolls.
Thank you, Lydia, for cooking some delicious sweet rolls. They're available at all good merchant stores.
Yeah.
Stores.
Yeah.
If you invest in those merchant stores, they have more money, gold to barter with.
Right.
Lydia's Sweet Rolls. Buy them now. Yeah. Let me guess. Someone stole your sweet roll. Thank you. Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you, Lydia. Wow, what a generous sponsor. Please do support the sponsors of this show. Mm. Peter, thank you very much. See you next week, everybody.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.